Can everybody see this BMI CSAC form that I'm trying to share?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Looks like it works. How do I get back? Right.
Are you trying to unshare it?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
Usually
figure
at
out.
the top of your screen, there'll be a thing that says stop sharing.
Oh, there it is, the red one. Got it. Okay, thank you. Okay, now I'm technologically advanced.
Shoot.
Oh, there's Amber. Okay. So I'm Dave Simons. I go ahead and get started. So I'm the treasurer for Denver Mile High Chapter. Kind of got roped into this two years ago, or almost 2 years ago, and I don't have any accounting experience, so it was a little bit of a challenge, but it worked out okay. And I thought I would go over some of the things that I learned during the process, and things that I wish I'd known earlier. And then the other people in the group, I know Jules is going to be taking over my position as of January 1st, at least. She's the only nominee for our upcoming board election. So it looks very promising that Jules will be taking over. And then I know Amber is the treasurer for the Harmony Road. And then what are other people's positions? Are you established treasurers or upcoming treasurers or just interested?
I've been with Colorado Corps. Just going to take over in January as a treasurer.
So I got roped into being treasurer beginning of 2024, thinking it was a very simple thing and finding out that there's lots of little things, including the thing you just showed with the applying for permission from the, I just found that out the day of our concert and sent it in late. So, who knew? You know, it's just all these things that pop up. So.
All right. And if I do, if you raise your hand or whatever, and I don't recognize it, just unmute yourself and speak up. And with a group this size, I think we'll be fine. So, cool. Okay. Yeah, I have like about eight things on my list that there were that I found out about in the process of being treasurer. I suppose the one of the important ones is the doing the tax return, and that's the 990 form is the one that we use for the Mile High Chapter. And it turns out there's three different 990 forms. There's a 990N,
You guys are recording.
that's one that's they call it an electronic postcard, and that's works if you have your gross receipts for the year are less than $50,000. And then there's the 990EZ, which works if your gross receipts are less than 200,000. So I think a lot of groups would be able to use one of those two forms. And then we for the Mile High Chapter, we do the regular 990N, and I think that potentially we would have that our gross receipts are going to be less than 200,000. So potentially we could change that coming up. One of the other requirements for the 990 form is that your assets have to be less than 500,000. So, but I think most of the courses have assets less than 500,000. Our risers are really nice, but they're fully depreciated. So that one for the 990, what I've done, there's a the account I use an accountant, and she wants the and we use QuickBooks, and I use the basically profit and loss for the chapter, and then the statement of financial position, or the balance sheet. So a statement of financial activity on QuickBooks is what most people call profit and loss, and then the balance sheet is the statement of financial position. So those are kind of equivalent terms. And so updated those as of December 31st for the year that you're filing for, and then send that to the accountant. And then she has a questionnaire. Let's see if I can pull that up. Here it is. This is the questionnaire that she wanted to be able to do the return. Basically, the board members. Oh, am I sharing? I need to share, right? Hold on.
So at the
Share.
bottom, you click share.
There we go.
Here you go.
All right. So now, can you see it?
Yes.
So it's a list of the board members, and whether they were compensated, list of donors over 5,000, number of W-2s. We don't have any W-2s. We just have contract number of 1099s. And that's something I haven't mentioned. And then volunteers, financial reports, and then fixed assets. And then there's kind of a text portion that you describe the operations of the chapter. So those three things is the balance sheet, and the profit and loss, and then this questionnaire. And that's basically all that she needed for to do our returns. So stop share. Go ahead and do the move on to some of the other surprises that I ran into with the forms. Let's see. Guess I can just leave it on share. I think that would be good. All right, so this is the BMI CSAC form. This is a form that you need to file for each one of your shows, and it's kind of a Tony Prinaitis did a good job of reminding us when we needed to fill out this form. But it has kind of a standard down at the bottom. It shows what the prices are for your show. So if you have less than 1500 tickets, you pay $60 regardless of the ticket price, and you send it into the district, and then the district sends it into VHS. So that's just licensing for music permissions. Let's see what else we got here.
I have a question about that. Again, that was new to me this year, so I didn't do it last year. When do we submit this relative to the show?
I My experience with Tony is I would bring him a check on the day of the show, and so
Okay.
I think you can just mail it in after the show. As far as, we didn't get in trouble for that, so I think you can get away with that as long as you
Okay.
don't forget, right? Did that. Here's another form that I didn't know about. And we didn't do it in the first year when I was here, but that is the ASCAP, which stands for American Society of American Society. Where is that? Anyway, it's a copyright form that we need to do for on a yearly basis, send into the BHS. So this one does not go to the, as far as I remember, you just send it directly to the Barbershop Harmony Society, and it's got the prices listed on the form. And it ends up being about $300, depending on unless you have really high ticket sales. Oh, here's the calculation of the fees, but this is for copyrights for your shows. So each show, if you have less than $38,000 in ticket sales, gross ticket sales, so ticket sales minus your ticketing fees. Then you pay $310,000. If you don't have any shows, you don't have to, you just send in the form without any fees. And then there's this table here that helps you determine what the fee is, depending on if you had a higher volume of ticketing sales. So ticket revenue and the number of seats are used in the calculation there. So that needs to be done yearly. It doesn't specify, I don't think, oh, it's due December 31st. So that's that one. And then here's one kind of unrelated, but next on my list. This is a sales tax exemption form. So this is a handy form to use. Save your chorus from paying sales tax if you're registered as a tax exempt entity with the state of Colorado. Then you can get sales tax exemption. And up at the, I don't know if I can zoom in here. There's a number here at the top part of the form. That's so you get an exemption number from the state after you've applied for the sales tax exemption, and then you have this. You'll be able to use this form, and you can, when you're making a purchase for the chapter, you can either give the. Sometimes all they need is the number, or sometimes they'll want the whole form, but you can. You can give that to the person that you're buying the product from, and then save 8%. Like as part of the international competition, we had a big event with at a restaurant near the convention center, and spent $2,000 on food. And then we were able to get avoid the taxes on that, so that saved us $160 in taxes. So especially if you're doing a major purchase, it's worth having this. So that's something that's worth looking into. And you may already have a number if somebody else has already done it. So it'd be good to figure that out.
Once you have it, then it doesn't expire. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be renewed. You just have the number and you fill out the form. Let's see what else. Got the ASCAP, got the BMI CSAC, got the sales tax. All right. Colorado Charity. There is something. Let me see if I can open that up. Don't have it on my list here. There is a form. I found out about after the fact. It's a Colorado charity registration. There's two forms you need to do with the state. And one is the Colorado Secretary of State. You need to register your this form that I have up here is not the form, but the Colorado Secretary of State, you need to do a periodic report, and that is I believe that is due on May 31st, but you get in a or August 31st is what it says on the Secretary of State website. But basically, you just do your periodic report and pay $10 for that. And then there's if you are registered as a charity in Colorado, which we are, you need to do repeat the annual Colorado charity registration. And that's due on May 15th with automatic extension to August 15th. That was a form that I hadn't heard about, and that one's also $10, but you can potentially lose your nonprofit status with the state if you don't repeat the and won't be able to receive contributions on a non-tax basis. That's also that the charitable registration is something that's needed. We needed as part of our process for signing up for Bingo. We are just starting Bingo for the Mile High chapter. We started on October 18th, and it's a Jim Clark was alluding to the fact that that the financial situation for a lot of the singing groups has been challenging since the pandemic, and what we kind of learned the hard way is that our income from ticket sales was not enough to cover our expenses. Part of it is, less people doing going to less in-person entertainment and just a general trend after the pandemic. But that was kind of a harsh reality for me. Taking over as treasurer and watching the our bank balances dwindling kind of rapidly during the first year. And so one of the things that I did that was helpful was say talk to the board and say, "Help, we're losing money." And so it wasn't a very sophisticated request, but I was able to get their attention and get everybody alarmed to the same degree that I was by watching the bank balances going down. And that's part of the so in response to that, we had a meeting and looked at ways to reduce our expenses and see what options we had for increasing in income. And bingo is an option that potentially can make a lot of money. There are some groups that are very successful at making potentially $100,000 a year for some of some organizations, and less than that when you're starting out. But you do need the charitable registration. And what we did was join a or use an existing bingo hall, and then pay rent for a time. We have a Saturday at 11:30 to or 11 to 11:30 to 1:30 time, or 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock time on a Saturday, and have a bingo session. And that's we just started and having like our third session on that. But potentially it's a way of supplementing the income. The main concern on the bingo is that it's labor intensive, so you need to have volunteers from your organization that are willing to put in the time to cover it. So each bingo session we have been having on the order of eight people at a session to cover the volume of work. And the bingo is nothing like what we have done. What bingo when I played when I was growing up, what used to be, paper sheets, and you do one sheet at a time. And now they've got machines that you can play multiple bingo games at once. And then they've got all kinds of side games, including they call them pickles. Basically, it's pull tabs with numbers on them. And then side bingo games where you're playing another bingo game instead of the full bingo card, you're playing a smaller bingo card. And then progressive bingo where the if somebody doesn't win it, the balance carries over to the next session, and it gets up to potentially up to $15,000. The bingo is nothing like what it used to be. So it would be very challenging to try and start a bingo operation without having the use of the hall. So the hall is going to take away some of your income, but it otherwise I think logistically it would be very challenging. And once you have an established bingo operation, potentially you could rent your own facility and manage it yourself, but for starting out, it seems like the way to go. So
Well, I get a
that's
little
my
more clarification in the form. You said this Colorado charity registration you need to do twice, one to the Secretary of State.
oh it's just no it's just it's just one time per year with the Secretary of State, but it's separate from the periodic report. So the periodic report is something every corporation needs to do, and then the charitable registration is separate from that. So it's two different forms. So they're each cost $10 and relatively straightforward once you have been registered as a charity. So
And that's done annually.
right, and they're both due in August. So,
Okay.
the bingo hopefully will be a way of supplementing income. And then, see what else. As far as things that I learned the hard way being the treasurer, I started, I hadn't didn't have any accounting experience, and so I was learning on kind of on the fly learning how to do QuickBooks, and I don't know what if everybody's using QuickBooks or if they using other accounting software. But the biggest mistakes that I made in QuickBooks, one was when I made transfers from savings to checking account, sometimes the QuickBooks would log it in as an expense instead of a transfer, and so doing a $3,000 transfer from savings to checking comes off as an expense, and then the numbers don't match up at all. But so that was one thing that screwed me up that I was able to eventually figure out. And the other thing that I ran into was that there sometimes the expenses would be duplicated on the reports, so the same expense would be listed twice. And so the thing that was helpful for me was to go ahead and print up the profit and loss, do a detailed version of the profit and loss, and then go through and look at it, and then I would be able to see that there were two listings for a certain expense, and I needed to delete one of those. And the same thing with the transfers, that the change the transfers from an expense to a transfer, and then the books balance out much, much better after that. But the QuickBooks that I have, the way it's set up, it's synchronized with a bank account. So we have US Bank, and it synchronizes with set it up to synchronize with the QuickBooks, and then so any transaction that shows up on the US Bank account will come up on a page to reconcile with the QuickBooks, and then go through and categorize the expenses based on the list that I would be prompted to categorize the expenses. So, and so it ends up being, a dozen transactions per month, something like that. And then one of the things that I've kind of learned is easier for me anyway, is to do more often these days, I do handwritten checks as opposed to printed checks. The process of printing a check on QuickBooks was one of the ways that I ended up with duplicate expenses on the QuickBooks. If I did the check wrong and I canceled it, then it would end up being two expenses showing up on the QuickBooks, and then the books are off. But handwritten checks, I don't haven't run into that problem. So let's see. So this is the slides that included with the as far as options for discussing topics related to successes and challenges for your chapter. And I mentioned financial challenges that we had with meeting our expenses, our expenses exceeding our income. And I mentioned we had a meeting of the board and the leadership for the chapter to talk about what we could do. And bingo is something that came up out of that process. We also adjusted our chapter dues and looked at ways of reducing expenses. And one of the things that we've done is that we were doing concerts at the Newman Center, and it was very expensive, and that was where we were losing a lot of our money. I guess one of the things that I hadn't mentioned was we were the host chapter for the International Convention, and that's something that comes up every 15 years. So it doesn't really apply to most of us, but it overall was successful and had a lot of volunteers from both of the choruses in our chapter, the Timberliners and the Sound of the Rockies, and a lot of people putting in time and effort to make that work, and overall ended up about breaking even based after our reimbursement from Barbershop Harmony Society, and then the various expenses, but kind of a labor intensive process, but a lot of fun and kind of a satisfying experience. And we were obviously happy to get a medal. The Sound of the Rockies got a medal in the chorus. So that was the best part of the whole process. So, anybody else have any comments about things that have successes or challenges in your chapter?
Well, we did pretty well this year compared to, I've only been doing this 2 years, but we really focused on getting more income from ad sales in our concert program and did very well this year with that. So we also bumped up our ticket price a little bit, but really helped us a lot. So,
And how many, what size is the facility where you have your shows?
we share shows with the Lads and Lasses of Enchantment in Los Alamos. So, in that, in the, they're both in churches. And in our local show in Santa Fe, it's about 200 is all, and then in our in Los Alamos, it's about 150 or something. So,
And
not real big shows.
right, but you get a chance to perform. I mean, that's kind of why we're here. And one of the things that I didn't mention was we get funding from it's called SCFD, Scientific Cultural Facilities District, and it's takes money that's raised from Colorado or Denver sales tax. So it's like a tenth of a percent on the Denver sales tax. And we have to apply for funding from them each year. And previously it's been pretty high amounts. And then it's gone down progressively each year. And starting as high as like $40,000 several years back, and now this last year it was $14,000. But we're changing the county that we're applying to as our primary county. We have been using Denver County, and we're applying this year to Arapahoe County, and hoping to get, or planning on for this next year, to hoping to get more compensation from that. One of the things that we do to kind of promote ourselves with the district is we had free voice lessons. We did voice lessons once a week for several weeks in this last fall, and then we had a youth camp associated with our spring concert. Both of those are free for the participants, and so a way of representing our choruses as being doing good in the community, and not just being there for ourselves. So that's helpful as far as justifying requests for funding. A little bit of progress in getting some corporate funding from people who work the workplace, applying for either matching funding or grants from we've had some decent luck with Xcel Energy, and then other corporations getting matching donations. So challenges. I was going to mention we have a monthly board meeting, and what I've learned from experience is that they usually don't want to the board meetings, they don't want to go into great details on the finances. And so what I've typically done is the year-to-date profit and loss, and then what the bank balance is and how that compares to previous months. So those are kind of the short version of the reports. And it usually seems like the board meetings are, especially if we're not in a financial crisis, the board meetings are usually have enough other items to discuss that they don't want to go into great details on the finances. And if you do, then that's you can go into more detail, but the board meetings tend to run a little bit longer than people would like anyway. So try to hit the highlights and not get bogged down in the details for the most part. The other thing that was a challenge for me was the coming up, working on a budget for the chapter. So the first year that I came in, there really was no budget that was available. That theoretically you should be working on the budget right now for next year, so that it's ready to go come January 1st. And this last year we did a better job. So end of 24 did a better job of coming up with a budget, and got
Who prepared the budget?
some help from members with more financial experience, so that because I don't have a great experience in bookkeeping and accounting and budgeting, and basically using the report from last year, the profit and loss report. And then adjusting items based on what we would like and what we think is realistic for the next year, for what's a realistic expectation for income from ticket sales and donations. And donations is something that we've focused more on, donations from members and former members. That's a big part of significant part of our income, and it's challenging because you need to do it well. You need somebody who's gonna put in the time and have some continuity in the process. So that's an ongoing challenge and an opportunity for improvement in our income. Getting people to donate, including doing like using donations from required minimum distributions on your retirement account, and then in estate planning, and then just from members in general. But that's something we've done better at, but we haven't, we still have a lot of room for improvement, and it needs to be, ideally you have somebody who can put in a consistent amount of time and continue the process. Yeah, so I don't have any great ideas here for what the RMD leadership team can do to help provide solutions or support for us. How are we doing on time? 10:30. We're getting towards the end of our allotted time.
Well, I have a quick question. You talked about a budget, but you talked about your board meetings and presenting cursory financial information, stuff they need to know off top end. How do you relate to the budget?
Right. That is something that I have not focused on during the board meetings, and most of my comparisons have been based on what when we're how the expenses compared to the previous year. But ideally, you would have your income and expenses, and then compare that to what was budgeted and whether you're under or over budget. But our financial situation has been kind of tumultuous, and so it hasn't been something that I've done on a regular basis. But ideally, that's how you would do it. You would show your income and expenses, and compare it to what was budgeted and whether you're over or under budget. And I think part of it is that I don't have any accounting background or bookkeeping background, and so I'm not as skilled at that as it would be ideal. So, but that's how it should be done. So,
Okay.
and potentially in the future, we will get back to that. But for us, it was a challenge just getting a budget generated in the first place. So, things have been a little chaotic the last couple of years, and we're starting to see some life in the light at the end of the tunnel. So, any other questions? I'm gonna stop the screen share here. If there's no other questions, I guess we can end our breakout and go back to the main session. And then if there's other sessions that are still open, potentially you can join one of them if you're interested. So appreciate everybody participating, and look forward to interacting with you at our next convention. So.